Taking our Bibles this morning and going to 2 Samuel chapter 11. If you can stand, why don't you stand out of respect for the Bible? And we'll read 17 verses anyway, see if you make that through or not. 2 Samuel chapter 11. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, "I am with child." And David sent to Joab, saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, how the war prospered. And David said unto Uriah, "Go down to thy house and wash thy feet." And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, "Uriah went not down to his house," David said unto Uriah, "Camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thine house?" And Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go unto mine house to eat and drink, and to lie with my wife as thou livest, as thy soul liveth? I will not do this thing." David said to Uriah, "Tarry here. Today also and tomorrow I will let thee depart." So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and tomorrow, and when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And that evening he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of the Lord, but went not down to his house. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab, and sent it by the hand of Uriah, and he wrote in the letter, saying, "Set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die." And it came to pass, when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah unto a place which he knew that valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell of the people the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. You've read the story of David slaying the giant. But this morning I'd like to preach to you the giant that slew David. Heavenly Father, I pray that you might bless in the preaching of thy word, and may your will be done. Lord, I pray that you might control my thoughts, my mouth. Lord, that I might preach to your honor and glory. I pray that each one hearing my voice might open their minds and their hearts to the things of God this morning, and that tears of repentance would come. And Lord, that we might live for you a new life. Lord, bring glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Hey, brother, that's a good title.
Hey, man, I got the title right. We can all go home now. I'm going to stop while I'm ahead. Amen. Bible says in the book of Acts that David was a man after God's own heart. David. King David. Did we just read about the same man? David, the king of Israel, the second king that Israel had after Saul. Everything that David went through with Saul and all of the history there. He slew the giant. He did all of these wonderful things with his mighty men. That's another sermon. But all of those things. Is that the same man we're reading about? Verse 1 just penetrates your mind and you're confused to even understand that this happened. It came to pass after the year expired, at the time of the kings go forth to battle, David sent Joab and the servants with him. And all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried. He waited. He stayed still at Jerusalem. First rule of interpretation is you get your context. So if you read chapter 10, you'll find out that Joab, he was the commander-in-chief of the army. And he went ahead and battled the Ammonites and the Syrians. But it wasn't completed. It just had a kind of a peace. And then at the end of chapter 10, you find that David went out to battle. And he got a complete victory over the Syrians and the Ammonites. Normally, they did not make war during the winter. So chapter 10 would be in what would be fall over there in the Holy Land. But in the spring, when they could get good footing and so forth, and have already taken the time, those months of winter, to prepare strategies and everything else, and all of the kings that would go against each other would go to war. David stayed behind. Amazing statement. This the same David? He sent someone else to do his duty. That's a low thing to do. David was a principal man. David was one that honored God with his life. He wouldn't even touch God's anointed when Saul was after him. Is this the same man? This great man? Has that been your experience in your life? You did some great things. Maybe months ago, maybe years ago. But when it was time for the kings to go out to the war, you stayed behind. Volunteer for Jesus, we say. We don't have it in our hymn book, but that's just another one. You got it in your hymn book, Tommy? Volunteer for Jesus. Amen. But anyway, I want to be the first one. Amen. Before I went into ministry and everything, they mentioned something had to be done in the church or whatever, I wanted to be the first one to have my hand up. I know, preacher, you can count on me. Put me in. Didn't matter where I was. I'd have been scrubbing toilets. I don't know. I'd do anything. Anything to get the job done. Anything to bring glory to God. Be doing something for God no matter what it is. We need soul winners. You okay? Pastor, when are you going out? We need things to be done. We're on church. Yeah, I'll be right there. You see, you think you can just kind of float along in your Christian life. And just as long as you're better than the other Christian, you're okay, right? You're not to measure yourself with someone else. You start measuring yourself with Jesus. Because maybe you've got more potential than somebody else. Maybe you got more talent than somebody else. Maybe you got more intellect than somebody else. Maybe you're not as lazy as somebody else. It's your responsibility with what God has given you to do that within your life. God gives everybody a gift. Nobody's left without a gift. You have a gift. Find it and do it. David stayed and sent someone else. No, you just can't say, oh, well, I'm okay. People don't drift to holiness. They drift toward compromise. And they call it tolerance. And they drift toward disobedience and call it freedom. That's what's going on out here in Christendom. We're in a fight, brother. Get in a fight. We got a battle going on. Need everybody that can do something. Do it for the Lord. Show up. Be present. Better straighten up or I'll preach the sermon on excuses again. Amen. Because I know that's what you're going to give me. Yeah. You think David had an excuse for staying home? Anytime you don't get in a fight, you get an excuse. Didn't say God accepts it, but you'll have an excuse. I'm not going to go. You do it. You go my place. Mm-hmm. The whole idea here is that there was a place for David to be at a certain time, and he wasn't there. And there wasn't any excuse that was given. He just stayed behind. Well, I don't feel like going to church today. I think I'll just sleep in, watch TV. You think God's interested in what you feel like? There are too many Christians that are relying on feelings. Brother, you're supposed to rely on truth. If it's in the book, do it. If it tells you not to do it, don't do it. Be a Bible-believing Christian. Don't rely on anything else. David, there's a war going on. Need to be out there. Just like there was a place for David, there's a place for you. Do you think God has a plan for your life? Yeah, there are certain places that God wants you. He's opened doors for that. Now it's up to you to be where God told you to be. I try to get everybody here at the services early, at least 15 minutes early, come in, be able to fellowship, maybe help in one way or another. I'm always here at 9 o'clock or earlier, and getting the snow off the steps and everything else. So Vivian can hopscotch up the stairs and down and not slip and everything. Things have to be done. We just need to do what God tells us to do. Be a helper. Be a volunteer for Jesus. Well, the whole thing is he wasn't there, and everything else that followed came from that. When it was time for kings to go to the war, he sent somebody else. And they were doing battle. They were out in the tents, out in the fields, cold, and everything muddy. David just relaxing down there at the palace. Better watch out about the relaxing. You get your eyes on the wrong thing. Get in the habit of glancing. Amen. Let your eyes bounce off the wrong thing, especially men. Problem with David was he kept on watching. When you're not where you're supposed to be, this is out of character for David. This whole thing. That's why it's so notable. He wasn't busy. It's not smart not to be busy for God. God's given you strength. God's giving you everything you have. He knows what he gave you. He knows what you can do and what you can't do. Everybody else was risking their life. But he wasn't. He was sitting at home. They didn't have TV back in those days, internet and all the rest. He just saw her from the balcony of the palace. Watch about all of that, Christian. There isn't anybody here that isn't above falling. David was the best. He fell. Don't think you can't. Think about it. Look at verse 2. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David rose from his bed, walked up, and he saw her there. David was staying back, pampering himself. While other men are out there getting dirty and cold and cut with the spears and swords and everything else and running and sweating, he's pampering himself. What's going on? What happened to onward Christian soldiers? Huh? It's a nice gospel hymn to sing, but we better start living some stuff. Because God's watching and time is flying by. You don't have to pray, oh God, don't judge. Don't judge our nation. Look around. He's already judged it. And it's getting worse. The lies will be worse. The reporting will get worse. The TV will get worse. There's other Faucis, you know, just coming out of the woodwork, you know. What's that tribulation period all about? Control. There's going to be one man in control. He got a number for you. Praise God, we're not going to be here if you're saved. But that's what this whole thing's about as you read the Word of God. So he broke the 10th commandment. It's better to have something out of sight, out of mind. Isn't that better? Keep your place here. Go to 1 John chapter 2, if you would, please. First John chapter 2, verse 15 is a familiar verse to us, huh? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. This is what David should have done, huh? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Brother, I want to be in verse 17, not in verse 15. He covers three things right here. Passion, greed, and honor. Equals the world. Mm-hmm. The Lord created the earth. Satan got the victory at the fruit tree with Adam and Eve. And Adam gave over God's creation to Satan. Now I had to work for a living. I had to sweat. Women had to bring forth babies and labor and pain. Of course, you could always go down to the abortionist at Parenthood. Planned Parenthood. Planned murder. Yeah. You could always do that. It won't be so much pain. Everybody's trying to get away from the curse. Men are not going to work and doing the sweat. It's all getting away from the whole thing. We got to watch out what we're doing. That's no doubt about it. Go to James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 14. James 1:14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away by the devil. You must have a different version. You're drawn away of your own lust and enticed. Then we got a progression going on. Then when lust, underline it, hath conceived, to bring it forth sin, underline it, and when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It's just like these stairs right here. If I know death is at the bottom, would I want to even get close to that first step? Because I know what God said. There's a progression to that. One just leads to another, and then death. Where you at? Better get on solid ground, brother. Amen, amen, amen. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, brother. That's what God wants us to do. He gives us a remedy for living life. All we got to do is take it. Look at verse 3 in our text. Chapter 11, verse 3. David sent and inquired of the woman. You see him following after his lust? He already knew she belonged to another. He stole from the man that had her. He broke the eighth commandment. Look at verse 4. And David sent messengers, took her. She came in to him, lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. It's that time of the month. She just got done with that. He took her. He was grabbing. He was selfish. You ever see undisciplined kids in a nursery playing with toys and stuff? They'll get grabby. Boy, they'll grab that away from somebody, another kid that has it and everything. That's mine! Mine! Ah! That's the old nature. That's the old flesh, brother. Better call it what it is. He broke the seventh commandment. Look at verse 5. The woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. Get over to Galatians chapter 6 if you would. I know you got enough sense to keep your place in our text, right? Galatians chapter 6, verse you know well. It's amazing though, even though we know it, we don't know it. Oh, you know it, but you don't know it. Be not deceived. That's why you don't know it. You're reading some letters in a book. You don't know this is a principle of life. God set it up this way. He said, you don't be tricked. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man and soweth, that shall he also reap. Brother, he reaped. You think you're going to get away with sin? Not so, Christian. Better repent. Hosea 8:7 says, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. Numbers 32:23 says, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. It'll always come back on you. Don't get to that first step. God's speaking to you about something this morning. He wouldn't have me preach this if he wasn't. Look at verse 6 in our text. David said unto Joab, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. Isn't that a kick? The sinner is the one giving orders. He wants to, don't let on something's wrong. Don't let on you have an illegitimate child. Verse 8, look at it. He said, Uriah, you're doing a good job out there. You go down there and get all cleaned up, wash your feet and everything. And I'm going to send you some meat and everything. Get down there to your house, be with your wife and everything. He presented a cover-up. Uriah tricked him. Uriah had too much principle. Uriah wouldn't do it. The same sin that David just did by staying behind and letting somebody else take on the war, Uriah was just the opposite. He said, all of these men out there, warring and everything else, and you want me to go to my house and eat and everything? He said, I'm not going to do it. There's not a way that I would do such a thing. Little did he know that his king just did. Irony. Verse 11 tells you that Uriah said to David, all of those things I just said. He said in the last part of it, I will not do this thing. He's a faithful servant. Praise God for faithful servant, brother. And he trusted his leader. A lot of times, the faithful one is the one that'll get hurt. It's the way sin works. Verse 13. David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, made him drunk. Can you imagine that? He made him drunk. Alcoholic drinks. Some Christians say they can go ahead and drink. The Bible doesn't say that at all. Oh, I got liberty. I'm saved by grace. Yeah, you got liberty to do right, not to do wrong. You live for Christ. Alcohol is a very effective dissolving agent. It dissolves families, marriages, friendships, jobs, bank accounts, neurons, but it never does dissolve problems. Sure. The old cerebral cortex. Our nurse down here knows all about that. You get alcohol in your system, that's the first thing it goes for. Where you make decisions. Where you compare what you should do and shouldn't do and so forth. It's the first stop for alcohol. That will affect your life in that way. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Anybody know it by heart? I didn't think so. Go turn to it. Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs 20, verse 1. If you're deceived by that, you're a fool. Anybody that's deceived is not wise. There's only one other thing that if you're not wise, you're a fool. You're a fool to drink. Yeah, anything with alcohol in it. God's against all that kind of stuff. The book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 15 says, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him and maketh him drunken also, that thou mayest look upon their nakedness. Oh, well, Pastor, I don't drink. I just keep some beer in the refrigerator, you know, for one of the neighbors drop in or one of the relatives. They like to drink and everything. What did Habakkuk just say? Woe to you that gives your neighbor drink. Make him drunk. That's exactly what David just did. It's a terrible sin. Drunken drivers. I'm a member of MAD, by the way. Amen. Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Nearly 70 persons a day, about one every 23 minutes, are killed in drunken driving crashes. Nation's single greatest killer of the people under 34, according to National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Nearly 26,000 persons die in the United States each year because of drunken driving. Nation's leading cause of highway deaths. One of every two Americans will be involved in an alcohol-related auto crash in his or her lifetime. Yeah, David, you're quite the king. Yeah, Christian, you're quite the Christian. You know, pride is a downfall. God help me. God give me grace. I've got nothing to boast of, brother. I'm a piece of dirt. He created me out of that. Nothing more. Whatever he did give me, try to use for God, one way or another. So once he went ahead and got him drunk, then he started scheming to do more sin over and over again. We read James 1:15 already about that. Progressive sin is. Goes from one thing to the next thing. Best thing is not to sin in the first place. When you get tempted to sin, you need to get to prayer right now. Not later. Now. I mean, if it happens while you're driving, get over to the side and pray. And then he committed murder in verse 17, didn't he? He sent him right out to the hottest battle. He broke the sixth commandment. He's breaking commandments all over the place. And it was all because he wasn't where he belonged at the time God said to him. Look at verse 27. We're going to close in a couple of days. Verse 27. And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched to his house, and she became his wife and bare a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Today, this sin is committed all the time, and nobody thinks anything of it. Adultery, fornication, shacking up. That's the culture out here. You wonder why God is judging America? But we aren't part of that, are we? Did I tell you that a lot of times the faithful ones are the ones that get hurt? That's life. We got the example of the best king you got in the Bible doing the worst sins that you could even ever think of. We don't have the time, but you can go into chapter 12 and you find out Nathan comes. He tells him a story. I'm going to tell the story to the king. David listens to the story And then he gets the bony finger in his face saying, "You're the man." You know, it doesn't matter how great you are and how much money you got and everything else. What's important is not what you possess, but what you give. What's important is not how many friends you have, but rather how many to whom you are a friend. What's important is not how much overtime you worked, but rather if you worked overtime for your family and loved ones. What's important is not if you live in a great neighborhood, but rather how you treat your neighbor. What's important is not what kind of car you drive, but rather how many people you give a lift. What's important is not the size of your house, but rather the number of people you welcome into your house. We got a lot of food for thought this morning. Most of you know that down through the years, I preach different just about every Sunday in a different way. It's the way God leads me. But you heard the truth. Now it's up to you. Ball's in your court. What are you going to do about it in your life? Will you make a change in your life? A change in your thinking? A change in your worship? God's waiting on you because he's your Lord and he's your God. The giant that slew David. Heavenly Father, I pray that you might bless each one that has listened, has examined, has applied to their own heart and life. Give each one grace enough and boldness enough to repent and to live for you. May we all do something for Christ. For time is fleeting. Only got a little time, Lord. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Help us to live for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.